Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians, if you would, please. Ephesians, as we continue our study there. And always exciting to start singing that Christmas music. And it reminds me of the, every year we go Christmas caroling, and we, over and over we sing Christmas carols. Obviously, when you go caroling, that's what you do. And tend to sing many of the same ones there at Grand Court. Well, it's not called that anymore. What's it called now? Brookside, yes. So anyway, so, you know, it's huge. And so we're going up and down the hallways, and people open their doors up, and we sing. And by the end of the night, typically, those songs become a little quieter because people start losing their voices. But it is always such a blessing to sing of the Lord and how good He is and how He sent His Son. What a great holiday we can celebrate. And it just seems fitting that we have Thanksgiving and then Christmas. We just keep thanking the Lord. Our hearts should be rich with praise for the Lord. Of course, we have the Lord's Supper set up for this morning. Again, this do in remembrance of me, and we remember him and look around. Just a festive, exciting, wonderful time, and we continue our study in Ephesians, and that's all about blessings. The title for the book of Ephesians, Blessed with All Blessings, title that I gave it for this study, and lesson number 4, our passage dealing with verses 13 and 14. We've already dealt with verse 13, talking about our protection. And so we move into verse 14 today, talking about our perfection. So our protection and then our perfection. Our lesson verse is Ephesians 1 and verse 13. And so if you find that or you see it there on your lesson sheet, we will go ahead and say it together and begin. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. And again, Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13. And Father, we thank you for this season and the beauty, all the decorations, and mainly, Lord, for the reason. God with us, Emmanuel, you came and lived a perfect life to die on an old rugged cross to pay for our sins. May we be reminded of that over and over. May we be thankful. May we come to you when we fail you and seek your forgiveness. And we just thank you so much for the blood of Jesus Christ. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper this morning, I pray that you will help us to just consider all these things and to consider our God and how much we know that you love us. So give us a good Sunday school time. Bless all the classes, Father, throughout our property. And if there's anyone here who's not saved, I pray that when they leave this place, they'll know for sure they're going to heaven. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we come to lesson number 4. We also passed out lesson 5. Does anybody need lesson 4 or lesson 5? Anybody need those? All right. All right. We have one. Lee needs lesson 5, I guess, or both? All right, maybe lesson 4 and 5. Of course, many of you noticed Clark Bennett not here today. They have gone south, and Clark seemed a little bit hesitant this time. I think he's just been enjoying himself in church, and we talked a little bit about that, but just such a good spirit, and they went, of course, and I'm sure they're shuffleboarding. Not right now. They're in church. But good people. But yes, we appreciate Glenn making sure everybody gets a lesson with Clark not there. But anyway, Dale Stewart's sick. Kevin Stewart's sick. So many, you know, just a lot of sickness. We kind of keep passing it around, I think. But anyway, then of course Matt Barnum update. He did have a stroke, had a moderate stroke. They're calling it. His left side is he struggles with his left leg, his left arm and hand. He is not able to move them, use them. He is going through all of the different treatments. They believe he will get use back. He has some speech impediment, and they really don't know why this happened. There are so many things they speculate on, of course, with the injury that he suffered years ago. That could easily be a reason. So I know Jenny tries to answer all the questions. Try to imagine, though, when you come to church, and the kids are, you know, they're... Try to imagine everybody's going to, how's your dad? Well, what happened? What's going on? So let's try to be, kind of think through that a little bit. And really the update I just gave you without giving you technical terms, that's the update. I saw Matt yesterday. He is very upbeat, considering. Keep in mind this stroke symptom is kind of how his life's been the last few years, honestly. It's other than this left hand and left leg, he has feeling, he has some, but the use, it is very hard to explain. He was trying to explain that to us, and it is a very, very strange thing. His speech, they're working with that. He just stutters some, not all the time, but some, and but he's very upbeat and gives praise to the Lord. Over and over again. So keep the Varnums in prayer, and of course the Denias is left. As far as I know, they made it. We always have a hard time talking once they get to Africa. But just been a busy week and a good week. Jeff Graham went to be with the Lord this week. We found that out by reading the newspaper. I couldn't believe he was in hospice. Nobody told us, and usually they do. And so, anyway, Jeff is—he was saved, and he's a man that I don't remember how many times he said, "Doctor said I should have died." And that just recently, when he was in hospice, I visited him there, and I expected him to be all hooked up, and he was sitting up eating breakfast. And I said, "Jeff," and he said, "Yes." He said, "I lived." And then he went home for a while, came to church a couple times. The newspaper said the family is having a private service. That's all I know. I don't know how to contact any of his family, though I've met several of his family members. And anyway, Jeff doesn't care. Jeff is in heaven. And I can only think, you know, he was good friends with Bob Hill. And Bob actually, I believe, brought him to church years ago. And so, you know, they're together, fellowshipping, praising the Lord, and that is not a bad thing. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So anyway, we will move on with our lesson. Lesson number four, we're talking about the doctrine, Roman numeral 2, and I keep putting that review on there, and Patty, you'll notice in lesson 5, she had to shrink the font. So to get, because we're running out of room, but I do kind of like to do that. We're talking about doctrine, the doctrine, and really chapter 1, verse 4 through chapter 2, verse 22, there are a lot of doctrinal truths, and the first thing was capital A, our possessions in Christ. And it's we've broken it down three ways, and it could be, you know, there are so many. You look at commentaries and pastors and preachers and theologians. They have their way of outlining a book. And this is my own kind of an idea here of an outline from the Father, possessions from the Father, from the Son, from the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, of course, gives us, and we studied this earlier, verse 13, our protection. It is really the plan of salvation, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Thank God we got to hear the word of truth. Aren't you glad? I often think about the people that tried to give me the Word of God. And I wasn't interested many, many times, over and over. You know, I told him to get lost, didn't grow up in church, didn't want to hear it. And thank God that finally I heard the Word of Truth. And after that, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And certainly there's a protection because it says we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God doesn't break His Word. He doesn't break His promises. And of course, we talked about those things. And then we come to the second part here, and that is our perfection. Our perfection. And we started on this a little bit. Our perfection, number one, is guaranteed. Our perfection is guaranteed. It talks about here the Holy Spirit of promise and the word earnest. And we spent a little time on that the last time. I believe it was a couple weeks ago. And we talked about the Holy Spirit of promise. Earnest is a down payment. That is one way we can understand earnest. It is a guarantee. And so our perfection is guaranteed. Our other word for earnest that we used, who remembers? Anybody remember another guarantee, another promise? We talked about this, and everybody understood, and then we forgot. And if I didn't have it written in front of me, I'd pray for you. Well, I don't think I'd forget this because I know what it is. What is it? Stacy, you know. That's it, engagement ring. And, such a precious thing. It's a promise. And the Holy Spirit is our engagement ring, if you will. The marriage will take place. And He doesn't break His word. And then, of course, we spent a little time on the word until, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption. And until indicates the thing before ends when the thing after it starts. And our roof will leak until it gets fixed. It will be dry until it rains. And we are engaged until the wedding. It is going to take place. It is going to happen. We have an engagement ring, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us until we are perfect. And that day is coming. And so that brings us to the next thing. And number one is our perfection is guaranteed. Number two is our perfection is gracious. It is all of grace, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Our perfection is gracious. Let me give you some verses. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, and that is, of course, familiar passage, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Our perfection is gracious. It is totally by the grace of God. It wasn't, we found enough money, we could buy our salvation, we could buy our redemption, we could pay that. We could not pay our debt. Our debt would have to be paid eternally in a place called hell, and that is the only way we could pay our debt. And as you understand the word eternal, it is never paid. And so that is, we are not redeemed. The payment of our debt is to free the captive. I talked a little bit about that in one of our staff devotions about liberty and freedom and all of that. And of course, the payment of the debt, we are redeemed. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed," well, we are redeemed, verse 19, "with the precious blood of Christ." The debt is paid. Praise the Lord. Sin will not condemn you when you're redeemed. It will not. The blood of Jesus Christ is the payment. Revelation 5 and verse 9, just some verses to write down. Revelation 5 and verse 9. The Bible says, "They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation." And so, in that idea, in that sense, we have the first tense, and that is, it's a past tense. I have been redeemed. Okay? There you'll see that there's the past, there's the present, and there's the future. But the main thing, you know, as we think about this, okay, the first thing is, I am redeemed. We sing this, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of... Anyway, so you were supposed to do that second part. But we have been redeemed. Price is paid. It's a done deal. It's kind of like, and I have to be real quiet, but I did order something online. I'm not going to say where, but it was an online, but it ended up being a local place. That's amazing. I'm just learning some of these things. So I went on their national whatever it is website, and I ordered this thing online, okay, and I paid for it. It's all paid, and immediately I got an email that said your order is ready to be picked up at this local place. Then I got a phone call, and somebody local called and they said we just want you to know that your order is ready. You can pick it up any. I said, wow, who else is somebody going to come knock on my door and let me know that it's... I couldn't believe it. And they said, and we want you to understand, all you have to do is go and pick it up. It's all paid for. Wow. Now, you know, that's our salvation. It is all paid. My redemption is paid. It is according to Ephesians here, and these are... good words, the purchased possession. It's purchased. It's done. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt that I could not pay. And it is a done deal. Galatians 3, verse 13, again, we're talking about it being our perfection is gracious. Let's not forget this. Galatians 3, 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. There it is again. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. He didn't have to. Totally grace. Completely of the grace of God. He paid the debt and all of grace. I didn't deserve it. He did it. Again, remember, in salvation there is mercy. Not getting what we do deserve, then there is also grace, getting what we don't deserve. And so there is a past redemption in that Christ paid the debt when he died on the cross. Amen. So that is I have it as capital A under this. No, I don't. I have it as, where's my outline? I have it as number one under our perfection, is grace, or our perfection. I don't know what I have. Now I'm totally confused. Anyway, you don't care. The point is, we have been redeemed. Now, here's another thing. We are being redeemed as well. We are, the being redeemed is a process of being set free. Here's the deal. We still sin. I know there's some in here that probably it doesn't seem like it. Sometimes I get talking to my wife and I say, babe, do you ever sin? You know, because compared to, I just think, you know, and many husbands probably feel that way about their wives, and some husbands would say, there's no way. But anyway, but there is that process of getting rid of the sin and getting where we don't sin. And that should be, it should be happening again. That being redeemed, look at Romans 6, verse 18. Romans, book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 18. Does anybody think it's too hot? You're cold? All right. Everybody, you're happy? All right, good. We want everybody to be happy. Of course, you realize that is impossible. When there's this many people, it's just not possible to make everybody happy. All right, so Romans 6, verse 18 says this, being then made free from sin. That's happening. Amen? Now, The price of sin, that's all paid. The judgment of sin, I'm not going to be judged. But now in my life as a Christian, I am being made free from sin. Ye became the servants of righteousness. So now I'm able to start serving God and doing right. And he goes on, excuse me, in verse 19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to unrighteousness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And so I find that after I got saved, sin, I know it's paid, I know I'm going to heaven, but I also am learning, because of the doctrines, I'm learning that sin has no dominion over me. I'm learning that I can do right. Does that mean I always do right? No. But I know I can do right. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Did he have to do that? No, he didn't have to. But that's part of his grace. I am becoming free. You know, it's a wonder when you win the battle against sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you think that thought, but you get rid of it immediately. Isn't that a great thing when that happens? And it never makes it to your mouth. Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
And that happens because sin no longer has dominion over us. There is a process of being free from sin. Of course, Romans 7, the classic passage of Scripture about the battle that we fight, and the Apostle Paul talks about it so clearly in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In fact, you know, he says, I want to do right, but I struggle with that. To will is present. I want this. But how to perform it, well, I don't always do. And he says, for the good I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And it's a battle, a constant, constant battle. But because of the grace of God, there is a battle. Because of the grace of God, you know, we can do right. We are not in bondage to sin. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. There is not a person in this room today that is saved that can honestly say, well, I had to sin. No, you didn't. I didn't. You don't. We don't have to sin. We are not in bondage to sin any longer. And so Paul talks about this battle and he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, Paul, it's a battle now and you are being delivered, and one of these days, that's the future, you will be. Your redemption will be complete and sin will be defeated. And we will no longer sin. It's hard to imagine not sinning. It's hard to imagine not having those thoughts, those feelings, those evil, whatever it may be. And honestly, I look around and I don't see anybody that's just really nasty and wicked and vile. And I know all of our sins sent Jesus to the cross. We all recognize that, at least we better. But I'm just saying, most of that is because most of us here have been saved a while and we're starting to grow and we're growing in the Lord and getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Because the grace of God, He, day after day, the more we read, the more we study, the more we walk with Him, the more we're able to say no to that sin that we have dealt with all our lives. And so we are redeemed. That's in the past. We're being redeemed, being freed from the power of sin. And then the third thing is we shall be redeemed. One of these days, look at, here's just a couple of verses, Romans 8 and verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When we put on a new, perfect, no flesh body. I don't understand all of it. I just know that's what's going to happen. And there will be no flesh. There will be no carnality. There will be no temptation. There will be no, again, that's in heaven. And people say, well, Pastor, you know, your chocolate lake, you may not be, you know, that may be a carnal lust. Well, it may be, and I won't need that when I get there. I'm still kind of hoping that I get a chocolate lake. But it sounds like a great idea. But the point is, again, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, in heaven there will be no sin. I won't sin. You won't sin. Nobody will, you know, they won't take your parking place, and you'll think, who do they think they are? There won't be road rage or harp rage or anything like that. Amen. We'll just love each other like we're supposed to. And I don't, there won't be anything to put up with. It's hard for me to grasp. It's hard for any of us to grasp that everything's perfect. Again, if you play sports in heaven, you think the guy will pitch the perfect game, but how would the hitter hit the perfect game? You can't do both, so I don't know. And those are things, again, they probably really wouldn't matter that much anyway. But we shall be redeemed, and the captive will be free when Jesus comes. Our redemption, the debt is already paid, but it's been paid. But then we will have that perfection, and so our perfection is gracious. Again, God didn't have to do that. Let's say God just simply and God exercised His mercy, and we. We deserve to go to hell because of our sin, but God in His mercy said you don't have to go to hell. But let's say that some of these religions that believe when you die, you're just poof, you're just gone. I mean, I guess that would beat hell, suffering in hell for eternity, right? And let's just say that God showed His mercy, and because we got saved, we didn't have... But see, it's not just His mercy, it's His grace. Not only do we not go to hell, which is His mercy, we get to go to heaven. Heaven's going to be wonderful. And it's hard for us to even imagine what heaven is going to be like. And so that is all because of the grace of God. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to show His mercy. But He did. And we see picture after picture of God's grace throughout the Scriptures. Our hymn book is full of songs about the grace of God, and we could not overdo it. It's not possible because it is amazing. Well, let's go to the third thing, the last thing here. Number one, our perfection is guaranteed. Number two, our perfection is gracious. And number three, our perfection is glorious. And let me just give you three passages, and we'll be done. Titus 2 and verse 13. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That's, you know, our perfection is glorious. It is godlike. I mean, honestly, it is amazing, and it is all because He gave Himself to redeem us, to buy us, to pay for our sin, to pay our debt, and then to give us a home in heaven and a perfect, purified, peculiar people kind of a life. Praise the Lord. Our perfection is glorious. Romans 8 and verse 18. Of course, Romans 8 deals with so much of this. Romans 8 and verse 18. Again, these are all doctrines. I hear people often talk about, those doctrines, that's just so, it's too deep, it's too hard. Remember the caption that I put under Roman numeral 2 as far as the doctrine. It is realizing our blessings. the doctrines are, it is where you realize all that God has done. Don't let the word doctrine, don't let teaching, don't let that scare you away. You know, when somebody says, well, we have a class in our school called Bible Doctrines. And you know, oh, that's good. No. That's where you realize what's happening. It's where you realize what God's done. And Romans 8, verse 18, this whole passage, just beautiful. For I reckon, see, he's talking Southern here. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so take your sufferings and say, wow, you know, that's bad. He said, there's no comparison to what you're going to have. You know, all those sufferings, all those things, you know, there is no comparison to how wonderful it's going to be. The glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. You know, how sad, right? Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And we know it's all totally by faith. We don't see anything. We just believe this is what's going to happen. I can't imagine a sinless life. Go ahead, Glenn, and take up the offering if you would. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. Boy, that's bad when a pastor forgets the offering. Unbelievable. But I get talking about in heaven there will be no offerings. Amen. It's just all there. Everything's, yeah, it's hard to imagine. It's hard for us to imagine that. It really is. And yet, we believe it. We don't see it. I don't have a brochure of heaven. I have the Word of God. It talks about streets being paved with gold, the gates made with pearl. Talks about perfection, glory, beauty. We have pretty good descriptions, but I've never seen a brochure. You know, you go on the internet and you're going to visit somewhere, and you can kind of look and I forget the travel thing. TripAdvisor, I think that's the name, and you can go to TripAdvisor and you can check out pretty much anywhere in the world. Somebody's been there, and they'll give reviews, and they'll talk about this and talk about. You know, I have several people that we have what they said about heaven. We have what Jesus said about heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, I go to prepare a place for you. That's pretty good. He went, and he said, and he's going to prepare the place, so it'll be pretty good. Seems like it's a mansion. It's not somebody, you know, several liberals have said that that's talking about little compartments. You got to be kidding. You know, well, I'm just living my little apartment in heaven. Oh, brother. Anyway, so, and I know it didn't say anything about my lake of chocolate or my sugar lick in front, but anyway. 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. You say, preacher, you haven't seen it, have you? Nope, but I believe it by faith. And the just shall live by faith. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's one of the reasons why we preach so hard against sin. And we take such a strong stand. It's not popular, but the Bible says that if I have that hope in me, I purify myself even as he is pure, because someday I'm going to be pure. You might as well get unused to all the worldly junk, because you're not going to have it in heaven. Might as well start liking things that are godly. things that are right, things that are righteous. And, you know, all those neutral things out there, sports and all that, I don't know if that's going to be there or not. I don't think it's necessarily bad. Some of it's bad. But the key thing about all that is we should be getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to what we're going to do in eternity. And so that's exciting. Again, I think we're going to have fun in heaven. I can't imagine, you know, well, we'll just all sit on clouds and play harps. I don't think so. I don't see that happening. If that's your thing and you're excited, how many of you want to play a harp in heaven? Anybody? I don't really care to play a harp in heaven. But, there's just going to be so many wonderful, wonderful things to do in heaven that I can't, you know, if you've always dreamed that you could play the piano, I think you'll be able to play piano, maybe sing. And do you play the piano?
Player piano.
Oh, a player piano? That'll work, yeah. Or we'll just gather at Secca's mansion and we'll, maybe she and Debbie and Carrie and all our piano players here, they'll all do a little concert. I don't know. You know, it's just, but why, you know, anyway, see, our minds could just go hard to even imagine, but it is going to happen, and that's the wonderful thing. It is a blessed hope, amen? All right, we will move on to the next lesson, which you have the lesson number 5, and we'll start on that, Lord willing, next week.